All right, last but not least, it is my pleasure to introduce William Singer from University of Tennessee Martin Agronomy Club to present on plant development and soil conditions affected by planting date and maturity group. So let's give him a warm welcome.
So thank you for that introduction, and like she said, my name is Will Singer. I'm here from the University of Tennessee at Martin to speak on our research project that is plant development and soil conditions affected by planting date and maturity group, specifically in soybeans. So a little bit about the introduction of the research project. Soybean cultivars are divided into maturity groups for different reasons based upon where you're going to plant them and what you're going to do with those soybeans. And things like market pressure and cropping systems have influenced how farmers are going to use their planting date. So things like market pressure has influenced them to plant sooner so they can get their yield sooner, they can sell it sooner. Things like cropping systems such as double cropping and cover crops can sometimes influence them to plant later depending on the type of system they use. So the combination of these two variables affect plant development and the soil conditions, and that's basically what we looked at with the study. So as an objective, we wanted to determine if different maturity groups, if different planting dates, or if a combination of the two affected plant development and the soil conditions. So the trial was held on the UTM campus farm. We used a split plot randomized complete block design with the main treatment being seeding date. So the early plant date was May 17th and the late plant date was June 20th. You can see in this picture we're cleaning out the mechanical planter that we used with the plots just to make sure that we didn't allow any overlap between the different maturity groups in different plots. So four cultivars were used, a mid group 3, an early group 4, late group 4, excuse me, and an early group 5. This plot number 19 is actually a late plant early group 5. So as you can see in this picture from a UAV taken on our campus, you can see the blocking design with our research project. This is taken towards the end of the growing season, so you can see with the brown and yellow colorations the early plant dates, and then with the green richer colors you can see the late plant dates. They're still going through most of the vegetative stages. So the site was maintained normal production standards for soybeans. No irrigation was used. But we did have some issue with stand counts in the early group due to weather and slugs. And you can see in this picture with the brown coloration, you can see straight to the ground in some of the plots, which is predominantly due to slugs. So we staged twice per week. Soil samples were taken four times throughout the growing season, one in May, one in June, one in July, and once in early September. You can see in the picture, I'm out in the field. There's another person who helped stage with this research project. To get the research from the field to the lab, we used photometry with nitrate and ammonium levels. We then took those and combined them together to get total nitrogen levels. And then with the soil organic matter, we determined through loss of ignition. In this picture, you can see us going through the extraction method. From this extraction method, you then take the extract, put it in the spectrophotometer, and then use Excel to calculate the concentration. So some of our results. This first graphic shows the average stages of the variety or cultivar per date, this specifically being the early date for planting. You can see with the S53C5 maturity group, that one's actually a determinant. So it stays in its vegetative state longer. It doesn't hit R1 until almost all of the plants are ready. So you can see the average goes up much higher than the rest of them, because with our staging method, we take 10 randomized plants per plot. We then average those stages together. And on this graph, we have all the maturity groups averaged together. So with the other three that are determinant, some are hitting their V stages and R stages at the same time. When you average those numbers together, it shows you a lower number, putting into consideration all of the different stages at once. And then this is a graph showing the late plant variety, the same information just with the late plant date. You can see again the determinant going up much higher than the rest of them. And with the indeterminate ones, this one you can see much more variability depending on when they're hitting their R and V stages between each plant. So average nitrogen per maturity group, the y-axis is micrograms of nitrogen per gram of soil, which is equivalent to parts per million. And the x-axis is the maturity group, with each column being the different sampling times. So with this, you just really want to see the progression over the growing season. You can see that until the plant reaches maturity, the nitrogen levels decrease, and then once they reach that mature state, the nitrogen levels begin going back up with more fixation occurring from the legume family. Now this is the same material, but this time it's split over the planting date, and once again you can see that same trend over the growing season. Now with this one, we have the early plant and the late plant separated out, still with the micrograms of nitrogen per gram of soil. And specifically with this, once again, that same trend is strong, and it stayed strong through all of the graphs that we have. But with this, you can see between the early plant and the late plant, specifically in the gray column. The gray column is smaller with the late plant. There are less levels of nitrogen in the soil there specifically, which can be shown because of them being late planted themselves. They have not reached maturity yet, so that level of nitrogen has not been put back into the soil. So with the percent organic matter, this one shows the plot sampling. So each line shows a different sampling date, and then across the x-axis are all 32 plots that we use, and the y-axis is the percent organic matter. And this graph really shows the good diversity in the field and how even in a smaller research setting with only 32 plots, the diversity can really be different throughout the entire field. And then similar to the nitrogen, with each sampling date later in the growing season, the soil organic matter goes lower than the one previous before it. We did not have time to do the fourth sampling, so it'll be interesting to see in the future if that fourth sampling is like the nitrogen and goes back up. So with the average percent organic matter, we have the late and early plant dates here again. And with this, there was not much difference in between them, but you can still once again see that strong trend of going down over the growing season as the plants are reaching their maturity. So in conclusion, we found that nitrogen levels decrease until plants reach that maturity. Once they reach that maturity, the nitrogen fixation starts re-entering the nitrogen into the soil. The soil organic matter decreased over the growing season similar to nitrogen, but different than nitrogen, it seemed to be unaffected by planting date and maturity group. Working forward with this research, we look to do more vegetative studies with counting nodes, counting pods, counting the seeds within those pods, and then going back with a combine, doing the yield-related data, and moving forward with some statistical analysis of this data. So I would like to thank Dr. Barbara Derrick and Dr. Paula Gale for their assistance in this research project, and thank you for your attention. Are there any questions? Yeah, so statistics were not able to be performed yet due to the progression of this research project and the conference timing with this. But specifically for that reason, we left out other data because the statistical analysis couldn't be given for that. So we really tried to emphasize on things that were visual and able to be seen with specific differences without having to do the statistical analysis. We didn't actually, we probably should have researched that, but we were more mad about the slugs getting into it, so we were trying to find solutions to that problem. So slugs, they're starting to be a really big problem with early plant soybeans in Tennessee that have came up in the last couple of years, but I did not look to see if it attacked a specific cultivar. It was more just the early plant date.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I had a question. Could you explain again, you said the nitrogen went down over the season, and explain again what your why do you think that
it is? Oh, okay. So in the associating the nitrogen going down over the season, the plants are taking up the nitrogen. So as we sample the soil, we assume that there's less nitrogen because it's being taken up into the plants. And the nitrogen from the Fabaceae family, the legume family, which soybeans is a part of, they fix that nitrogen. And so they're going through the fixing process, but they're also taking up nitrogen. So as they're growing, they're putting all their emphasis into growing, making their pods, making their seeds. They're using that nitrogen more than they're fixating it. And then after they reach that maturity, they're dying back. They are putting more nitrogen into the soil with the fixation process and no longer taking it up.
Okay. Was there any relationship to the soil moisture content? I mean, are there alternate hypotheses that could be explained with rainfall, differences in rainfall, drought, or dry periods during the season?
Yeah, so we did take weather data alongside all of this, but we have not been able to compare those together just yet.